سے انشاءاللہ.
ساتھ نماز سے فارغ ہو جائے تو قریب قریب آ جائے انشاءاللہ. Keeping in mind those people who are performing their salah, please move forward to the front, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan. The youngsters sitting at the back, if you could come forward, inshallah. Abu Huraira. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. الحمد لله. My dear respected brothers and elders, those youngsters who are at the back, come close inshallah. Those boys who are still at the back against the wall, if you could come forward inshallah. The closer we come inshallah, the more benefit we will take inshallah. Whenever the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in would sit in the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they would sit so close together, there'd be no gaps. So that's how we should sit, you know, close knit in that manner. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the tawfiq, the ability. Once again, it's another Thursday. Alhamdulillah, last Thursday we had our program. Our speaker, Mawlana Ibrahim Diwan Sahib, mashallah, gave a very beautiful, very important talk on the importance of choosing good friends and good company. So today, inshallah, again, we have another very important talk about the importance of acquiring authentic knowledge, valid knowledge, acquiring knowledge from correct sources. And what is this knowledge and what is the importance of acquiring this knowledge? And next week, again, next Thursday, we have another very important program, the importance of managing the urges and the desires of the nafs. All of these are very, very important topics. So those who didn't make it today, inshallah, we need to try and get them to make it for next week. And those who attended today, like I said last time, those who came last time, I mentioned, next time you come, bring a friend with you, bring a relative with you, a family member with you. So those who have come today, next time we make sure that we bring someone with us, so that inshallah, the majma and the gathering, it doubles inshallah, or triples inshallah. So without any further ado, before we start the program, alhamdulillah, we have two people who are going to do some tilawa of Quran. First, we have our Huzaifa, who is our Hifz class student here, mashallah, Huzaifa Sajid. Huzaifa, you can come forward, do some tilawa of Quran, mashallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا إنا سنلقي عليك قولا ثقيلا إن ناشئة الليل هي أشد وطئا وأقوم قيلا إن لك في النهار سبحا طويلا واذكر اسم ربك وتبتل إليه تبتيلا رب المشرق والمغرب لا إله إلا هو فاتخذه وكيلا واصبر على ما يقولون واحجرهم حجرا جميلا وذرني والمكذبين أولي النعمة ومحلهم قليلا إنا لدينا أنكلا وجحيما وطعاما ذا غصة وعذاب أليما يوم ترجف الأرض والجبال وكانت الجبال كثيبا مهيلا إنا أرسلنا عليكم رسولا شاهدا عليكم كما أرسلنا إلى فرعون رسولا فعصى فرعون الرسول فأخذناه أخذة وبيلا فكيف تتقون إن كفرتم يوما يجعل الوالدان شيبا السماء منفطر به كان وعده مفعولا إن هذه تذكرة فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه سبيلا صدق الله العظيم.
MashaAllah, well done, congratulations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him a strong hafiz of the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him a means of happiness and joy for his parents in this dunya and the akhirah. So inshallah, we have another hafiz who will recite do some tilawa of the Qur'an. The reason why we are having two people, MashaAllah, Huzaifa is Zahif's class student here, and I already told him. And then I saw this hafiz Adam here. So we need to know who are the huffaz of our locality, who are the ulama in our locality, so we can appreciate them and we can benefit from them. So I would like to call upon Hafiz Adam to come forward and do some tilawah of the Quran as well.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وسيق الذين كفروا إلى جهنم زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها فتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها ألم يأتكم رسل منكم يتلون عليكم آيات ربكم وينذرونكم لقاء يومكم هذا قالوا بلى ولكن حقت كلمة العذاب على الكافرين قيل ادخلوا أبواب جهنم خالدين فيها فبئس مثوى المتكبرين. وسيق الذين اتقوا ربهم إلى الجنة زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها سلام عليكم طبتم فادخلوها خالدين. وقالوا الحمد لله الذي صدقنا وعده وأورثنا الأرض نتبوأ من الجنة حيث نشاء فنعم أجر العاملين. وترى الملائكة حافين من حول العرش يسبحون بحمد ربهم وقضي بينهم بالحق وقيل الحمد لله رب العالمين. صدق الله العظيم.
MashaAllah, very, very beautiful, very powerful recitation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him more barakah in his recitation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him a pious hafiz of the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept him for the service of deen. This is the reason we want everyone to come forward. All of those, mashallah, many times people approach saying, my son is a hafiz of the Qur'an, alim of deen. We want these people to come forward so that the community knows, mashallah, these are the hidden gems and talents in the community, that we can appreciate them. Many times these people become a source of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Those who are doing tilawat of the Qur'an, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through them many hardships, many difficulties are kept away from the community. This is a secret that we all need to understand and we all need to be aware of. We need to appreciate the pious people who are amongst us. Can I just ask the brothers to come a bit forward, inshallah? Especially those at the back, you can come a bit forward. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال تعالى: إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. وقال تعالى: ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المفلحون مهتدون وأولئك هم المهتدون. صدق الله العظيم. Alhamdulillah, my dear respected brothers and elders and my beloved youngsters, the topic for today's talk is the importance of acquiring authentic knowledge. First of all, we need to understand, you and I, what is knowledge? In Arabic, the word for knowledge is ilm. Ilm. Now, ilm is something, unfortunately, many people have a misunderstanding about what is ilm. We think that ilm refers to anything that you know. Anything that you know is ilm. Whether it's knowledge of science, or knowledge of maths, or knowledge of geography, or knowledge of any other thing, or any piece of information that I have, many people, we unfortunately have this misunderstanding that this is ilm. Whereas the reality of ilm is such that ilm is something which takes a servant to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ilm is a very sacred thing, a very precious thing, a very special thing. It's not something which is, you know, very cheap, and it's not something which has very little worth. Rather, it is something which is worthless. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gives this ilm to those people that He loves. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that this fiqh of deen, this understanding of deen, this deep understanding of deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only grants it to His beloved servants, to those servants that He wishes good for. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Nowadays, we have many people who are scholars, maulanas, sheikhs, alims, muftis, qaris, even many people hafiz. Nowadays, the titles are, mashallah, very freely, widely available. Everybody has a title. It's very easy to get a title. But the reality is missing. Sayyidina Hassan Basri, rahmatullahi alayhi, somebody was sent in front of him once that this person is a faqih. هَذَا الرَّجُلُ فَقِيهٌ. This person is a faqih. And he became very, you could say, angry. This word faqih was used, even now if you go to Egypt and Syria and many other countries, they use faqih to refer to an alim, a scholar. So he became very upset and he said, هَلْ رَأَيْتَ فَقِيهًا قَطُّ. Have you ever seen a faqih with your eyes? And then everybody was gobsmacked, everybody was quiet. And then he said, إِنَّمَا الْفَقِيهُ الزَّاهِدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. He mentioned a few qualities of a faqih, of an alim. He said, an alim, a faqih, is someone who is a zahidu fi dunya. He's abstinent in the dunya. He suffices on very little of the dunya. That's why one of the conditions in Sharh al-Uqud Rasul Mufti, when a person becomes a mufti, one of the conditions mentioned in there, and Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah and many of the scholars have mentioned, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi was one of the first people to mention this, that one of the qualities of a mufti is that he should not have love of dunya. Having love of dunya automatically means that this person is disqualified from being a mufti. A mufti is in a proper mufti, not people whose names have mufti before them. A mufti, someone who has deep understanding of deen and someone who is put in a position where they are mentioning the laws and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen to the people. But they should not have love of the dunya. So, إِنَّمَا الْفَقِيهُ الزَّاهِدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. He is abstinent in the matters of the dunya. This is how, precisely how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be. That the dunya, there was no love for the dunya. That I live in the dunya, it's a very temporary existence in the dunya. I am going to leave, I'm going to go and die, I'm going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then it's Jannah. Subhanallah, Hafiz Sahib recited the beautiful ayahs about Jannah. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت وإذا فتحت وفتحت. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullahi mentioned a beautiful point here in Hadi al-Arwah. He says that وسيق الذين كفروا إلى جهنم زمرا, that the kuffar, the disbelievers, will be guided and shepherded towards Jahannam in groups. حتى إذا جاءوها, when they come to the doors of Jahannam, فتحت أبوابها, the doors will be open, get inside. prisoners, you know, you're going there, this is your destination, and they won't want to go in. However, the believers, the mu'minun, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ تَقَوْ رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ. That the believers will be guided towards Jannah. This is your place. This is why you spent your whole life in the dunya going through hardship. People around you had nice houses, nice cars. People around you didn't care about the fact that it was Fajr time and Zuhar time, Asr time, Maghrib time, Isha time. People around you carried on doing whatever they wanted. They ate whatever they wanted. They said whatever they wanted. They behaved however they wanted. But you made all of those sacrifices. So go towards Jannah. Jannah is your treat. So they'll be so excited. Now when they get to Jannah, the doors will be closed. That's why Allah Ta'ala puts a wow there. Hatta idha ja'uha. Now they have to wait. And what does that waiting do? It increases that desire, that yearning, that shauq. I can't wait to get in, and the doors are closed. When will the doors open so I can go inside? And then after a short wait, the doors are open. So their zeal, their motivation, their eagerness and their enthusiasm to enter Jannah is amplified, is multiplied. Beautiful point he takes up, that this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. He wants to just give the believers the best treat, the greatest reward and award, greater than anything that they can ever have imagined. And what's the greatest award in Jannah? The vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, this is something that the ushaq, the lovers of Allah, would die for. They would die for this. I remember reading once, Hazrat Shaykh Munir Salim Dorad Sahib Hafizahullah, he wrote somewhere, some booklet, that the believer, his greatest desire is that the didar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not sure how he mentioned it, but he said when he goes into sajda, this is the most beloved place to him because he is closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the greatest thing that he desires is the, you know, to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is his mahbub, this is the one that he loves. So لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, those people who do good deeds, they will receive Jannah, an extra blessing, a great blessing, which is the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a great scholar in India, Mufti Azizur Rahman. I was reading about him recently, Mufti Azizur Rahman Uthmani, rahmatullahi alayhi. He wrote one of the first, he was known as the Grand Mufti of India, one of the first person to hold that position as a Mufti Azam in Hind. When he passed away, somebody saw him in a dream, and he was in a rush. And they said, where are you going? He said, we've been allowed to go and see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't have time to talk to you. In a dream, somebody saw him after he passed away. So this is what they would give their lives for, the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So only that person can get the best of the akhirah, the best of Jannah, who makes some sacrifice in this dunya. So Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi says, the first quality of a faqih is az-zahidu fi dunya. Dunya doesn't mean anything to him. He has zuhud. Zuhud fi dunya. Dunya is meaningless. Dunya is worthless. This is the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Allah ta'ala gives you £100, if Allah ta'ala gives you £1,000, if Allah ta'ala gives you £1,000,000, the worth of that £1,000, £1,000,000, £100,000,000 is the same in your heart. You don't care for it. You have it, you use it. And if you don't have it, you don't care for it. That Allah Ta'ala has blessed somebody else with it. Allah Ta'ala has not blessed me with it. Alhamdulillah. This is Allah's taqseem, Allah's qisma. There's a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he had a student. I mentioned this story probably a few times, that he had a student, and the student had a student. So the grand student, he sees his teacher, and his teacher lives in a small hut. He has very, you know, meager accommodation and food, and everything is very, very limited. Very limited resources. So he's used to seeing his teacher living like this, in very austere circumstances. Now one day his teacher says, I want you to go and visit my teacher, which is the student's grand teacher, his teacher's teacher. I want you to go and visit him for some reason. So he goes there. And when he goes to visit his grand teacher, he sees that the person lives in a very nice house. MashaAllah, it's a beautiful garden, and everything is much better than the lifestyle of his own ustad. So naturally, a thought comes into his mind that my ustad lives in such hardship and such difficulty, and he goes through so much financial difficulties, but you know, you're living, MashaAllah, very beautifully, very lavishly. So when he goes to this grand ustad, and then he meets him, he sits with him, and he benefits from him. And when he's returning, he says, is there any message you would like for me to pass on to my ustad? And he says, yes, tell him he has love of dunya and he needs to remove the love of dunya from his heart. Now the grand student is sitting there thinking, what is he talking about? He's the one in the beautiful house, beautiful gardens, everything, mashallah, to a very high standard. And my ustad lives in such difficult circumstances and means. So he's confused. He returns home and he says to his ustad, ustad, this is the message that your sheikh wanted me to pass on to you. Ustad looks down and shakes his head. My sheikh is correct. My sheikh is right. Now the student is even more confused. He expected some different response here. So he says, ustad, please explain to me. You live in these circumstances, a very simple hut, very simple means, and your ustad lives in such, mashallah, grand circumstances, luxury. And he's telling me to tell you to remove the love of dunya from your heart. He said, my ustad may live in those privileges. Allah Ta'ala may have given him those things. But in his heart, he has no inclination for them, no desire for them. If they were all to be taken away from him, it wouldn't bother him. But me, I'm living in these meager circumstances, in these financial hardships, and I am hoping, oh Allah, I want better than this. I want what somebody else has. That is the love of dunya which is in my heart and not in the heart of my ustad. So we shouldn't be deceived. Someone says, Mawlana Sahib driving a nice car. Mawlana Sahib, you know, this person's such love of dunya that he's bought such a nice car. We don't know anybody's circumstances. We should never judge a person. Anyway, Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi says, the first quality of a faqih is al-zahidu fi dunya. And the second one, he says, al-raghibu fi al-akhirah. Al-raghibu fi al-akhirah. That the faqih, the person who is a scholar of Allah's deen, is motivated only by the akhirah. Dunya is no, means nothing to them. So many stories of so many scholars, starting from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the noble Sahaba, all the way down to many, many, many pious predecessors who have passed. People would come to them and give them gifts of money. They would say, I don't need it. I don't want it. What am I supposed to do with it? Somebody would come and give them a gift. They would say, look, I only need this much. I'm going to use it. What am I going to do with all this extra that you've given me? It's going to be a stress on me as to how am I supposed to spend it. Please don't give me that stress. Just keep your gift to yourself. You know, they would be so careful and so wary about accepting gifts. They would never go to the doors of kings and leaders and rulers because they would fear that person is going to, you know, spoil me with the riches of the dunya. They wouldn't want this because they would want the reward of the akhirah. So, الراغب في الآخرة البصير بأمور دينه. That the faqih, a scholar, is someone who is very aware of the matters of deen. He's aware of the matters of deen. The ahkam of Islam, the laws and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, he has deep knowledge about this. And al-basiru bi umuri deenihi al-mudawimu ala ibadati rabbihi. He is always constant in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says these are the qualities of a faqih. So this is the criteria that if a person has these four qualities, they are a scholar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Holy Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. Those people who have true khashya and true fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who are ulama, an alim, a scholar. So my dear respected brothers and elders, why am I talking about this? I started the talk with, the topic is the importance of acquiring authentic knowledge. And now I'm mentioning the qualities of an alim, the qualities of a faqih. The reason we mention this, first of all, is a reminder for ourselves. That what do I need to be? How do I need to be? How do I need to live in this dunya? This scholar Mufti Aziz al-Rahman, Uthmani, rahmatullahi alayhi. He was so mutawadi, the one who I was talking about, that when he passed away, somebody saw him in a dream and he said, I can't wait to go and visit Allah Ta'ala. It's a time to visit Allah, I don't have time. I don't have time to talk to you, I need to go. Once he used to lead the salah in the masjid, and he had a very simple voice, no beautiful tune or anything like this. So he was leading the salah and a person says, he went and he stood behind him in salah. And he said there was an amazing kayfiyah, an amazing kind of atmosphere which would take over when he would be leading salah. Someone would be crying, someone would be shrieking, someone would fall unconscious. And he said it was ajeeb. But when you look at him, he had the most simple voice. It almost monotonous. It wasn't a very, mashallah, Qari Abdul Basit style, very simple voice he would recite in. He said, so I would think, what is this? And then one day what happened, I went and I stood behind him in the salah. As soon as I stood behind him, he said, automatically my heart became so soft and I can't describe the condition that took over me. And he said, I just started to cry so much. And then somebody was shrieking next to me. Somebody fell unconscious and I understood why the person fell unconscious. I understood why that person was shrieking. But I looked at Mufti Sahib and he was reciting calmly. There was no difference which was taking place upon him. Such a level of connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that his salah was like this. The connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his salah and his piety. They mention that when he was a student, his classmates, they say, we would never see him, you know, putting his feet out, you know, stretching his feet out. He would always have his feet curled in. So people saw it once or twice. It can be, what's the word? Once or twice it can be, what's the word in English? Coincidental. Once or, jazakallah, Harun. Once or twice it can be coincidental. But always, you know, for a person to be in that state that whenever they lie down, they never ever put their feet out, they always have their feet curled in. So they asked him. They said, you know, he was a student at that time, he was a young man at that time. He said, why do you always lie down with your feet curled in? He said, the dunya is not the place for your feet to be spread out. When I am put in my grave, they're going to spread my feet out. He said, in the dunya, this is not the place. Aram se soneka. You know, I put my feet out and sleep so comfortably. He said, when they put me in my grave, they're going to do that to me anyway. I won't be able to change that. Apne pair ko seedha karenge, qabr ke andar. As a student, he had such awareness and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, awareness of the akhirah, that this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a short life, and the purpose of it is only to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please Allah ta'ala, so we can make our akhirah. Abu Ustad Mufti Inayatullah Sahib, he always mentions the story that Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam, Allah ta'ala created them in Jannah. Our parents, Adam and Hawa, are the parents of each and every single one of us, the parents of each and every human being. Allah Ta'ala created them in Jannah. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sent them into this dunya. But they were going to go back to Jannah. Jannah was their home. Therefore the children of Adam and Hawa, they are, their home originally is Jannah. So Allah Ta'ala created us for Jannah. This dunya is just a small test Allah has put us in. Temporary time. Very short period of time. When we hear it feels long. As soon as the eyes close, as soon as a person reaches death and barzakh and grave and the realm of barzakh of the hereafter, automatically the person realizes this world was such a small blip of time. It was just a second. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, he's like a person who is traveling that he just makes a pit stop and he just stops for a short period of time and then he carries on. That the human being similarly is like a musafir, like a traveler in this dunya. That we're stopping for a short period of time in this dunya and then we're going to be carrying on our journey into the akhirah. He's talking about this Mufti Azizur Rahman. Subhanallah, you know, we're reading about him, his tawadu. Kehte na ki koi bara alim ban jaye, apne aap ko pata nahi, sochta hai ki main koi bara, you know, I'm something very special. His tawadu, his humility was such. Every day after Asr Salah in India, so obviously in India in those days they didn't have fridges, refrigerators and all of this. But nowadays people, they cook, the wife or the mother, she cooks and she puts it in the fridge. I don't know if they do it in every culture, but they put it in the fridge and it lasts a couple of days, many times. They would have no refrigerator, so they would cook on the day, so they would go to the shop, buy the groceries for the day and they would cook on the day. Every day at Asr Salah time, after Asr Salah, he would go and he'd make an announcement in his village, is there anyone who needs anything? I'm going to the bazaar. I'm going to the market. And then the women folk would shout from the house, Mufti ji, mujhe ye thoda mirch chahiye, Mufti ji, mujhe jo lesson chahiye, Mufti ji, mujhe pata nahi, you know, something or the other, I need this, I need this, I need this. So he would take everybody's money, he would go to the marketplace, he would buy everybody's groceries, he would come back and he would give everybody's groceries. Whenever anybody had a roof leak, when it would rain too much heavily and there would be a roof leak, he would be the person everybody would call, because anybody else you call, they would take time. He would come out in his longi. He would just run out of his house. And at that moment in time, he was the Mufti Azam, the greatest Mufti of India. We have his fatwas. I have a book which has his fatwas. His fatwas that are in that book are over 37,000. And that's just the fatwas that they found. There were many years of fatwas that he wrote which are lost, which we cannot find. Just the ones that he found, how many? Over 37,000 fatwa. Look at this scholar. Allah Ta'ala had given him such deep knowledge of deen that when a question would come, he would answer it on the spot. Somebody asks me a question, I start sweating. I don't know how to answer this. I may need to go and look at a book, I may need to do some research. Allah Ta'ala had given him such deep knowledge of deen. People say whenever he'd be traveling, he'd be walking, he'd be, you know, a question would come. Even if it's from a very, it might come from the government, very serious, important question relating to the affairs of the Muslims, on the spot he would give the answer. On the spot, he wouldn't even think. And he wouldn't even have to look at anything. Allah Ta'ala had given him such deep knowledge of deen. This is known as faqihun nafs. Someone who Allah Ta'ala has given deep understanding of deen, they know that may jo kuch likh raha hu wo sahi hai. It's true, it's correct. And this only happens through a deep connection with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. A deep connection with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, love of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, recognition of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So whenever the roof would leak, mashallah, he would be called, he would go in his lungi and he would go and start fixing it, and they would put mud on top of it to block so that the water does not come through. Once this old woman was much older than him in age, and I don't think she had a husband, so similarly her roof started to leak. And she just cried out, everybody knew that this is the person to call. She said, Azizur Rahman, come and check what's happening with my roof. So he came and he said, you know, your roof is leaking and it's going to need a lot of work. She said, please go and find some, carpenter or roofer or someone who can come and help. He said, chalo, main kisi ki talash mein nikal raha hun. But it was night time. So he saw when he was leaving that water was gushing into the home of this woman. He knew, by the time I go find a builder, he might say tomorrow, might say I'm busy, next week, week after. Mashallah, the experiences that people have with plumbers and builders and these people. So he just started the work on it himself, middle of the night. He called another friend, he said, you give me the clay or whatever it is, and I'm going to, so at least she can sleep peacefully at night. So he did the work, all of it himself, took a good couple of hours. He needs to go to sleep, he needs to wake up, he needs to lead the Fajr Salah, then he needs to go and teach in the madrasa, one of the greatest madrasas of India. He needs to go there. He did all of this. Afterwards, the old lady, she said, Azizur Rahman, kam hogi? He said, ha, baji, kam hogi. It's finished, it's done. The work is done, you don't need to worry. So this is how much tawadu and humility they would have. The pious people. So we see ilm is something that automatically what knowledge does. And we see with young people all the time. And it happens and it's normal. That whenever you learn something, you feel that, you know, I am better than somebody else who doesn't know that something. And naturally, ilm brings, because ilm is something great. So ilm brings greatness inside of a person. So a person needs to learn how to control that. So young people, we always have to say, don't just think, you learn a piece of information, I am better than my local scholars. You know, I found something on TikTok, I found something on Instagram, and I know my local scholar has never mentioned this ever. I've never heard them saying it, I've never heard them talking about it. That probably means he doesn't know it. We assume? That probably means he doesn't know it, so I'm better than my local scholar. I don't need to ask this guy. I can just go on TikTok and find other things that he probably doesn't even know about. Make the assumption. This great scholar that I'm talking about, Aziz Rahman, does his students say, when we would sit in his classes, his talk would be the most simple. Itni, such simple words he would say, that it would seem sometimes that, you know, he's not even a great alim. Because the purpose was not, ke main apne aap ko bada zahir karu, ke main, I am some great alim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually cursed those people. He said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with those people, al-mutashaddiqeen, al-mutafayhiqeen. Those people who mince their words and use fancy words just to capture other people's attention. Khoobsurat andaaz mein baat karna taaki log jo hai mujhe well educated samjhe. I'm a very well educated person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah is angry with them. Allah's la'na is upon them. La'ana Allahul mutafayhiqeen wal mutashaddiqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cursed them. So the ulama are always aware of this. That humility, tawadu, keeping myself low. So the point I was making is authentic knowledge. Nowadays, mashallah, it's a global village. Everybody is exposed to some form of Islamic knowledge. It's very easy. You want to find a fatwa, you want to find a mas'ala, you want to know anything, mashallah. You want to know the meaning of an Arabic word, you type it on Google. Because we teach online alimiya, so there's some people who can't make it to the on-site to give exams. So they give exams sitting in Scotland or wherever. So it's very easy to know when they cheated. Because what they do is, when there's Arabic text that they don't know what it means, type it into Google Translate. And you know, nothing makes sense. None of it makes sense. Because this is the reality, the machine is still limited. It's still a machine. So if you're going to type it into Google Translate, you're going to come and you're thinking, what is this person talking about? And then you type it into Google Translate, you see the identical answer that comes up. Sometimes Wikipedia, where all of the facts need a lot of research. Who writes the pages on Wikipedia? Anybody. Anybody. There's no expert sitting there saying, okay, I'm the expert in history, so I will only write the pages in history. Anybody. You want to make a page about Muzakkir. say, okay, there's a person called Muzakki Imam, Mashta Hamzagi, I don't really like him, he's not a good person, and you put it there. The whole world will see it. And then somebody else can edit that and change that. So unfortunately, our people feel, I need some knowledge, go and type it onto Google. So many inaccuracies, so many mistakes, so many flaws. All I am doing by making this mistake and trying to go through this shortcut is I am leading myself towards deviation and misguidance and towards the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Holy Quran? فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you don't know something, ask the people of knowledge. You have to ask them. Not that, chalo, I can't be bothered, I know this guy, I don't really like him. You know, he used to shout at me when I was in Maktab. When I was in Maktab, he used to shout at me. So I don't like him. So I'm going to go to Google. Everybody's doing it. And unfortunately, they are coming with such, you know, answers and such confusions. That afterwards, that you can't untangle. The amount of knots they put themselves into, you can't untangle them. Because they have, isko kehte hai Arabi mein jahlun murakkab. When I am ignorant, I'm jahil of something, but I don't even know that I am ignorant. I'm an ignoramus. Mujhe kuch aata nahi, lekin mujhe maloom bhi nahi ki mujhe kuch aata nahi. Main samajhta hu ki mujhe kuch aata hai. Is bichare ka kya matlab dawa ho sakta hai? There's no medicine for that. There's no remedy for that. And that's what happens when a person says, you know what, I'm just going to go online. I'm going to look at what he's saying in London, what he's saying in, I don't know, different country, what he's saying over there. And then I'm going to have my own understanding of deen, and I'm going to say, I don't need anybody else. That's why it's very, very important that we connect ourselves with scholars. From the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, for any question that they had, for any query that they had, Islamic query, they would go to whom? To Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anything, small thing that bothered them, small thing, they would rush towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were confused about a certain matter, straight away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They wouldn't wait, they wouldn't hesitate, they wouldn't use their logic, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is present. After the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who came after would rush to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. To the extent that some would say, when they would hear one answer from one Sahabi, they would say, I don't want to listen to anybody else. Famously, the people of Medina, whenever Sayyidina Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu would give them an answer, they would, and somebody would come and say, oh, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says something different. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu says something different. They say, no. We will not take the opinion of anyone else and leave the opinion of Sayyidina Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. So they understood, I don't know something. Mujhe ek cheez nahi aata, what do I need to do? I need to go to the expert in that field and ask them and leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is not going to ask me on the day of judgment that why didn't you become an expert? If I go to the doctor and the doctor prescribes me the wrong prescription, it's not my job now to go and become a doctor so that this never ever happens again in my life. It's impossible. I go to the roofer, mashallah, it always happens. Roofers, plumbers, carpenters, everybody, they make mistakes. So now is the solution that I become an electrician, I become a plumber, I become a carpenter, I become a joiner, I become everything, a mechanic, so that never ever does a mechanic rip me off and take £500 for doing £100 work. That's not the solution. Why do we feel that this is the solution when it comes to Islam? When it comes to Islam, this is the solution. I need to become an expert. Becoming an expert is in the name. It takes years and years. The ulama, they say, al-ilmu la yu'tika ba'duhu hatta tu'tiyahu kullak. That knowledge does not give you a small portion of it until you hand over your entirety to knowledge. Then knowledge will give you a small, ilm will give you a small portion. The ulama, the way they studied, the scholars of the early days, we don't find anybody like that anymore. This I can say without any, you know, reservation, that there is nobody who can become or reach the status of the ulama of the past. They are the Salafus Salihun, they have gone. And if you read about their lives, you think you know that nobody can reach their level. There might be one person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses, or two people, but it's not going to be a common occurrence anymore. Huffaz, people who had memorized hundreds of thousands of hadith, people who had studied all of the opinions of the ulama, and they know all the different opinions which are out there, we're not going to find them anymore. Our job is to go to those people that we trust and we ask them. And not to feel that, you know what, it's something my own research. Everybody says it now. Okay, I've done research in it though. I've done research in this matter. You know, I've done research and I've come to this conclusion that this is what it is. I think you're wrong. I don't have to. If you go to a, you know, expert in maths, you know, expert, let's say medicine, a medical expert, and he says, this is what's wrong with you. And you say, well, I don't, and you say, well, I don't understand. Can you explain to me how this is what's wrong with me? He'll say, where do I start?
You don't know the basics of medicine. How am I supposed to explain the alif bata of medicine to you, and then, you know, alif zabar abba zabar ba of medicine to you, and then on with all the way till the expert? I can't explain that to you. I'm sorry, go to somebody else. If you don't like what I'm saying, you don't want to trust my opinion, and go somewhere else. I don't have time for this. I've got a long list of patients who are waiting. So we don't make this mistake. We just take their word for it. Many times we take their word even if it doesn't make any sense. We'll take their word. Sometimes we have to do a bit of research. They say take a vaccine, you take a vaccine. Because they said it. I'm just saying, sometimes we have to do a bit of research. We don't even do that level of research. But when it comes to Islam, I think just because I have internet, I can come to my own conclusions. It's very, very, very dangerous. I'm not going to sit here today saying, go to this scholar, go to that scholar, don't go to this scholar, don't go to that scholar. It's not my job. You know, I don't even know if whatever I have is true ilm and accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just hope that when I die, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives me for the small amount of effort that I make in my life. I can't say, oh, come to me and come to this person and come to that person. What I will say is go to ulama, go to scholars. Don't feel that this knowledge of deen is really cheap. Now that fatwas are on the internet, they are. You get all the fatwas online, many answers to questions. Now people just think, why do we need these scholars anymore? We get it all there anyway. There is so much to be learned from sitting with. I was just in Jamaat the other day and with this elder from Bolton. So many years my senior, mashallah. And he just phoned me the other day. He said, will you come? We're taking a Masturat Jamaat. Will you come? And I said, I really want to, but unfortunately I can't next weekend. I'm going to do something or the other. He said, look, I've learned one thing in my life. I'm an old man. I've learned one thing, that the suhbat of the ulama, the companionship of the ulama is priceless. That's the only reason I'm phoning you. I don't need you to come. We've got lots of people who are ready to go in Jamaat. But the companionship of the ulama is priceless. The way you benefit from sitting with the ulama, you don't get that anywhere else. You can't find that online. You can't. So many times even brothers, certain brothers say, I want to do, there's a brother who's been messaging me, phoning me. Our Sanatayin course, mashallah, every year we have. So one brother's been, he wants to do an Alimiyah program. So I said, look, we don't do an Alimiyah program. Locally, you can, he said, look, I can't travel far. We could do something locally. I said, there's an online one that you can join. He said, no, I can't join online. I need that face-to-face companionship of the scholars. You can't substitute that with anything else. So this is how the scholars of the past would learn ilm. They would sit with a scholar, they would benefit from them. Then they would go to another scholar, they would benefit from them. Until they felt, I've got nothing to take from this person, then they would go to another person. When they felt, I've got nothing to take from that person, they would go to another person. They would go to one person for hadith, one person for fiqh, one person for aqidah, one person for, you know, mantiq, whatever it was, different. They would go to some scholars just to learn adab. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayhi, you could probably say the figures, I don't know, remember the numbers. That a person says that, you know, in the majlis of Sayyidina Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayhi, most of the people, or a lot of people, would be there to write hadith, because he was a great muhaddith. But I think he mentioned that there were about 5,000 people, because his majlis, his gatherings would go into the 50, 60, 70,000. He was the greatest scholar of Baghdad of the time. Around 5,000 people would just be in his gathering to learn adab from him. Man, not even hadith or anything. Just, may is alim jaisa ban jao. Is Allah ka wali jaisa mein ban jao. They would be there for that reason. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is known as the Rijalullah, the pious, the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot make Allah's deen independent of the Rijal. You need the people. Kitabullah and Rijalullah. That's why whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted a nation to be guided, Allah ta'ala didn't just say, chalo, there's a book, catch the book. And the book is thrown down. Rather, with the book, Allah Ta'ala always sent a person, min anfusihim, a person who was from amongst them. Because it's essential that you can't just go and understand things yourself. We don't have that, and we don't have that ability. Not everybody has that ability. That's why some people should be ulama. One of the scholars was mentioning that, you know, when you study certain sciences of Islam, they're very hard, and some sciences are quite easy. And some sciences are very hard. A person just opens the book and says, wow. Even a scholar will open the book who hasn't studied to that level and say, oh, this is very hard. Say, why is this the case? Why are some books very, very hard? And the answer they gave was because the ulama wrote those books for ulama. They wrote those books for ulama. It's like when books are written for specialists. Not everybody should be reading this, otherwise they'll get confused, or otherwise they'll get the wrong understanding of things. This is written for the experts, so they can take all of that and then they can pass it on to the people where they think this is appropriate and where they think this is beneficial. I'm going round and round, maybe in circles at times, but the point is, my dear respected brothers and elders, that we have to connect ourselves with the ulama. We have to connect ourselves with the scholars. We have to connect ourselves with those who we feel have piety. One of the great scholars of Egypt, Allama Zahid al-Kawthari, rahmatullahi alayhi. He wrote a letter once to, I don't know if you heard of the Jami' al-Azhar in Egypt. Azhar University, everyone knows Azhar University. One of the great institutes of learning in Egypt. So he wrote this letter in his time. We're talking about the early 1900s. So he wrote a letter, he'd say, and he wrote the letter to the main head teacher of Azhar University saying, I am seeing a big weakness in Azhar University. That Azhar University was once the gem of the of the Islamic world. Anyone who wanted to study knowledge from anywhere in the world would come to Azhar University for a good over a thousand years. He said, but I'm seeing a big weakness. He says, the weakness is many people are teaching and they are clean shaven. And he said, I'm not sure why you're allowing these people to teach. And he was one of the greatest ulama of that time. Those who know will know. One of the greatest ulama. He said, I don't know why you are allowing these people to teach. That somebody who has disregards the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to that level. That they are sitting there clean shaven and they're saying, قال الله, قال Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. Whereas it's unanimous amongst the ulama that growing the beard is wajib. It's unanimous. Nobody disagrees that growing the beard is wajib. Now some people have their opinions. The ulama were always unanimous on this. They would never allow a person who did not grow their beard, who shaved their beard, to teach. They wouldn't even regard them to be a scholar. They would say this goes against muru'ah. Muru'ah. Manliness. Okay, manliness. Is there another word for it in English? Chivalry or something. I don't know. Manliness. And then he would say, and I see the adhan goes off many times and the scholars are still busy teaching. Why is it that the adhan is ringing, echoing, the muadhin is giving the adhan, and the alim is still teaching? He should be closing the books and rushing. He should be the first one out of the door to the masjid for the salah. So the ulama regarded these to be essential ingredients in an alim, a scholar. Nowadays, anybody and everybody, people are watching, you know, those who are standing, you know, giving da'wah, you know, different places. Many of those people we see in them. They don't have those qualities of the scholar. There's no ahmiyyah, there's no importance of sunnah, following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each and every single small sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be followed diligently. It's very, very precious. We cannot disregard any sunnah. Just the other day we were talking about the difference, you know, people say this is sunnah mu'akkada, this is not sunnah mu'akkada. Allama Zahid al-Kawthari mentions as well in this letter, he says people have separated sunnah into sunan al-zawa'id, Sunan al-Huda and Sunan al-Zawa'id, that these sunnahs are the sunnahs regarding Islam, you know, actions of worship, and these are sunnahs which are extra sunnahs. What the Prophet ﷺ wore, how did he talk, how did he walk, these are extra sunnahs, they're not necessary. Some scholars started saying that. So he said, what is this? Why have you made this categorization when the scholars of the past would write books on every small habit of Rasulullah ﷺ? Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi famously, he wrote the Shama'il. Each and every feature of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah's facial feature, the way he looked, the way he walked, the way he talked, the way he spoke, the way he sat down, the way he interacted with people, everything has been mentioned there. Why? So that it becomes a uswa, it becomes something that we can take and apply into our lives. So this is very, very important. That whenever we take ilm from someone, they need to be following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They need to be steadfast upon the sharia. They need to be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They need to be fearful of giving the wrong answer. If they give the wrong answer, they should not be reluctant in changing and then giving the right answer. Someone who says, it's only my way, whatever I've understood. Even if you tell them, look, you made a mistake, they say, no, you've misunderstood, I haven't misunderstood. That much, this is known as arrogance, kibr, pride. That person does not qualify to be a scholar. I'm mentioning these qualities, not that these qualities are in my life. And we do dua, and ask yourselves to do dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings these qualities, allows me to bring these qualities into my life. But this is how ulama should be. These are the people that we should look for, we should search for, regardless of whether we have to travel. You travel, you find these people, you benefit from these people, and you ask those people. And these apps, TikTok, Instagram, you know, I don't know, you know, whatever else people use, we should never use them for the purpose. I know people who are on social media. They say, I'm only on social media because I get Islamic, you know, what is it? Islamic posts. Subhan, what do you guys get on TikTok? Islamic posts, Islamic stuff. So, Islamic tweets. That's the only reason I'm on those things. Iske alawa main isko istemal nahi karta. Main isko sirf Islamic knowledge ke liye istemal karta hu. Very dangerous. I say to people, how is this your Islamic knowledge outlet? You're going to have five different scholars saying five different things. Log mere paas aate poochte hain ki Maulana sahab, ye mortgage lena jaiz hai? Main kehta hu nahi. Ulama to kehte mortgage lena jaiz nahi hai. Ulama isme muttafiq hai. Acha ye YouTube mein isne ye kaha, ye TikTok mein isne ye kaha, ye Instagram mein isne ye kaha, ye aisa thi. Do you even know who this person is? Do you know which country he is from? You don't know nothing about him. You're only his best friend because he said mortgage is halal. میرے رائے کے مطابق کسی نے فتویٰ دے دیا وہ میرا دوست بن جاتا ہے بہت جلدی, اور میرے رائے کے خلاف, میرے مرضیات کے خلاف کسی نے فتویٰ دے دیا وہ میرا دشمن بن جاتا ہے. This is the way we treat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. That if you're going to give opinions which go hand in hand with my desires and my whims, then you're my favorite scholar. You're the one I'm only going to be listening to from now on. And if you say anything which, oh, you know what, this scholar is too extreme. It's extreme. You use these words, extreme. We don't even know what these words mean. And it's dangerous using those words, extreme. We're trying to say Allah Ta'ala's deen is extreme. Very, very dangerous. That, you know, when we were in students, there was this story that was mentioned, Allah knows the authenticity of it, that there was a scholar, and he lived in Madinatul Munawwara. And he was a big scholar of the time. And when he passed away, for some reason, he passed away, he was buried in Madinatul Munawwara. For some reason, his grave had to be excavated. They had to open his grave for some reason, I can't remember now. No. When they opened his grave, they didn't find him there. They found an English woman buried in his grave. So people were really shocked. Who is this lady? Where is the sheikh gone? So they did, you know, they looked into it and they found out that this lady was from France. And she was a lady who had embraced Islam, her family did not know. And she had lived a very difficult life, you know, in very difficult circumstances. When she passed away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed her with the soil of Madinatul Munawwara, Jannatul Baqiyah. But the sheikh, where's the sheikh? So when they looked into it, the sheikh had replaced her in the cemetery in France, buried amongst non-Muslims. So they say, why? What's happened? So they asked his wife, what is the reason for this? Again, Allah knows the authenticity of it. I'm only saying this to prove an example of something. And his wife said, I don't know. He, mashallah, he was a pious person, a good person to the best of my knowledge. I just remember one thing. That every time we would, you know, have marital relations, then afterwards, before he would bathe, he would say, oh, these non-Muslims, their method is very good. They don't have to have a bath after this. And he would say, the non-Muslims, their tariqah, their method is very good. They don't have to have a bath after this. And he would say this quite frequently. So his wife remembered, look at what happened. After he passed away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him in that situation. So we have to understand, they're saying that deen is extreme, or this is too hard, this is too difficult, I can't do this. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person was eating with his left hand, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, eat with your right hand. He said, mastata'tu, I can't do it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, lastata'ta. You know, you'll never be able to do it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his right hand paralyzed. That it's not a small thing, oh, I can't do it. And we need to remember the people in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who Rasulullah was sent to, they weren't children, they were adults. So many times it was hard for them to change a habit that they had for many, many years. It was hard, you know, if you're used to doing something for 30, 40 years of your life, khaskar ke with something like going to the bathroom, putting your shoes on, eating, something you do on a daily basis, someone says change it, it can be a bit difficult to adjust to something new. But still, because the person said, I can't do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him in this difficulty and this test. So we should never say, oh, deen is too extreme, it's too hard, it's too difficult, I can't do it. Other people can do it. You pious people will do it. The Maulvis will do it. These law will do it. I don't need to do it. No, deen is for every single person. Every single person. We are all the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we accept the da'wat, the invitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we are known as Ummatul Ijaba, the nation who accepted Rasulullah's invitation. And those who didn't accept are known as Ummatul Da'wah. They're still the Ummah. Rasulullah called them towards Islam, they didn't accept. But we are all, every single human being is still the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ وَأَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَةً لِلنَّاسِ. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to the entirety of humanity. Every single person, whether you're born in whichever country in the world or some other country in the world, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a Nabi to each and every single person. So you can't say, oh, Allah has given us Islam, I've become a Muslim, and then I say, you know what, this is not for me, I can't do it. I'm a Muslim, but I'm just a relaxed, chilled Muslim. And this guy is an extreme Muslim. We can't draw these, you know, we can't make these boxes. These are very, very dangerous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us, myself and all of us, the ability to practice upon these few words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to follow the religion of Islam properly, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability that on the day of judgment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises us with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba ikram. If anyone has any questions, you can ask, inshallah. We said there'll be Q&A. Anyone has any questions, you can ask. Like I mentioned last time as well, if it's something that you want to ask personally, you can ask later. Mashallah, we've got the dastarkhan is already laid out. There's some cakes and tea, and I think we should be served. So mashallah, we have Mona Adam Sahib here. You can come, you can ask myself, anyone that you feel comfortable with, you come and ask them if you have any questions. So if you have a private question, personal question, you can ask. If it's a general question that people can benefit from, last week I mentioned as well that many times, husnus su'ali nisful ilm, a good question is half of ilm. Somebody asks a good question, and then the one who answers mentions the answer, and it's so beneficial that everybody benefits from it. So if you have any general question, inshallah, you can ask. किसी के पास कोई सवाल है हमारे हाजी साहब के पास सवाल
है
आज हाजी मियां नहीं चलो माशाल्लाह चलो anyone have any questions चलो माशाल्लाह there's no questions I'm just going to ask Mona Adam Sahib to do a quick dua inshallah and then we can go to the back and have some tea and some biscuits inshallah
اللهم لك الحمد حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من ضيق الدنيا وضيق يوم القيامة اللهم ربنا زدنا علما اللهم ربنا زدنا علما اللهم اجعلنا من العالمين العاملين اللهم اجعلنا من الذاكرين الله كثيرا اللهم اجعلنا من الذين إذا أحسنوا استبشروا وإذا أساءوا استغفروا اللهم واقية كواقية الوليد اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سمعنا وأطعنا غفران ربنا وإليك المصير وصلى الله على النبي الأمي الكريم برحمتك يا رحم الراحمين آمين
JazakAllah khairan to all those who attended today. Like I mentioned previously, please try and attend next week and bring others with yourselves as well. So everyone should partake of the snacks at the back before they go, inshallah. JazakAllah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Actually, we can have those snacks and then we can wait, inshallah, because Isha Salah is at quarter past 10. 10 minutes.